Okay, good morning, everybody, and thank you for inviting me back to give this shiur. It's always a pleasure. So as what we've done in the past, we'll continue to do now, and that is I'll pose two questions, and you'll tell me which one you would like to speak about. I guess you could use the chat section to vote on it, or you could just speak up and let me know which one of the questions you would like to answer. So both of the questions are pretty short, pretty direct and to the point. Question number one is someone, one of my Talmidim wrote to me, the fellow is dating now, and there's a lot of pressure on guys who are dating to come up with creative ideas of what to do on a date. It's not always so easy to think of new things to do on a date. So he writes, "Hi Rebbe, I hope all is well. I'm trying to plan a date, and I was wondering if it is mutter for a woman to fire a gun at a shooting range, or is it problematic due to Kli Gever? Thanks so much." So he wanted to take his date to a shooting range. I assume it's not a first date, but he wanted to know whether that's okay to do. So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two. I got an email from or a text from a woman who says as follows: "Hi Rebbe Leibowitz, hope all is well. I like listening to the Tamina Lachashim. I had a question regarding a shell, kiki riki, that is the same color as one's skin tone. Would this be a problem of Marisa Ayin?" Meaning a woman wants to know that, you know, they sell shells that that women could wear under a shirt. So, you know, if they have a shirt that's maybe not, would otherwise not be so tsunua, so they wear a shell underneath it. But can you have a shell that's the same color as your skin, where someone who's not looking closely may think that you're wearing non-sanua clothing, or is that some sort of violation of Marisa Ayin? So that is Shaila number two. Okay, so again, Shaila number one, both these Shailas are women related, I guess, but Shaila number one is about taking a date to a shooting range. Shaila number two about wearing a shell that is a skin color and whether that's an issue of Marisa Ayin, which by the way relates very much to the recent brouhaha about lace top shetels. I don't know if on the West Coast these kolkores have reached that far about the new types of shetels that a lot of the poskim in Lakewood are very, very unhappy with. But it's a very similar type of a shaila. So if all those who would like to vote can vote in the chat. Oh, we're getting a lot of votes. Okay. Oh, it looked like it was going to be one. Now two is making a comeback. Anyone else? Let's see. Okay,
I would say number two. I can't get to my chat, but I would say number two. Number one is no Shiloh. You should never take a woman to a shooting range. Don't give me any ideas. You know,
you don't want her to know how to use a firearm. Right? That could backfire.
Yeah. We have all the jokes about mother-in-laws. How do you miss your? What do you do when you miss your mother-in-law? You reload. You know? Yes. So we can't take a woman to the shooting range.
Okay. My in-laws are coming for Shabbos, so I'm not going to laugh at that joke. Even with that vote, it looks like number one might be right. It's a close vote. Wow. Okay. We have a tie, do we? All right. Let's. Okay. Another vote for two. I don't know. Should we go with two? Oh, okay. It looks like number two. Okay, so which one was number two? Number two is the Maris Ayin one, the Kikiriki. So it's an interesting discussion, this Maris Ayin discussion. It happens to be I discussed the topic very recently in a Temen Alachashir about these lace top shetels, and I think it's kimat the same issue. But a development that happened since then is that someone could just mute a development that's happened since then is that I sent a shaila to the Lakewood Poskim who assured these new types of shetels, hoping to get a tshuva in response to explain the psak. And one of the Gedolei Poskim in Lakewood actually did respond with a very brief note explaining the psak. So let's go through the issue carefully, and then we'll get to the latest on the issue. And I think it's kimat the same issue. Wearing a shetel and wearing a skin-colored kikiriki. So just to give you a sense of the issue with the shetel, recently was that there's this new type of shetel called a silk top or lace top wig where it's very realistic looking hair, meaning the hair is knotted in a way that that it looks like the hair is coming out of the scalp, that the lace that it's knotted to actually looks like a scalp. So whereas by most shaitels you try to have enough hair that you can't see the thing that it's connected to, because the thing that it's connected to looks nothing like a scalp, with this kind of shaitel it actually looks like the hair is coming out of the scalp. So if you see it coming out of the lace top, it looks like it's coming out of the woman's scalp, to the extent that many women can't even tell if a woman is wearing a shaitel. It's always been the case that men can't tell if a woman is wearing a shaitel or not, unless it's like one of those Hasidic shaitels with the little hat or something. But it's always been the case that that men can't tell, but women were always able to tell. Yet with this, it seems that very often women are unable to tell. So this really goes back to the old discussion about shaitels in general, and there are those that asr shaitels based on the Gemara Maseches Ksubos Tafayin Beis. The Gemara tells us that while Mida Oraisa, even just a kalta, a little bit of a minimal covering would suffice on a Daraisa level, but there is such a thing called Das Yehudis, which requires that we have a more substantial head covering, at least in public, and a sheitel doesn't look like any covering at all. It looks like it's so l'chora, some poskim argue, sheitel should be no better than a kalta, that a kalta is this type of minimal head covering that doesn't really cover the full hair. So by a sheitel, it's covering everything, but at the same time, it's covering nothing, because it doesn't look like it's a covering at all. So maybe it should be a violation of Das Yehudis. That's what some of the poskim suggest. The problem with that is that Das Yehudis was not about Maris Ayin. Das Yehudis was not about what it looks like. Das Yehudis was about not having the hair exposed, and Das Moshe is about having some of the hair covered. So by those definitions, it actually does fit the criteria of Das Moshe and Yehudis. Therefore, the majority of poskim have always been matir sheitels. Maris Ayin is only a concern when all married Jewish women cover their hair with a cloth covering. So then, if you're going to wear a sheitel and no one's ever seen a sheitel before, then it's going to be an issue of Maris Ayin, because even giving the illusion that you're bareheaded might be a violation of Maris Ayin. But today, there are so many people that are wearing wigs, it doesn't seem that it should be a violation of Maris Ayin. But if you look carefully at Rav Moshe's tshuva, Rav Moshe's tshuva in Ebn Ezer Chelek Beis, Simin Yud Beis, and Rav Moshe writes he always writes the names of the people that he's writing to, even sometimes when he's somewhat critical of them, and he writes a tshuva to Morena Rav David Lafa Shlita. I'm not sure, this tshuva was written in Yud Aleph Tammuz Tav Shin Chaf Beis. Wow, so this is, we're coming up on the 60th anniversary, I guess, of this, what is it, the 59th anniversary of this tshuva. So Rav Moshe writes in this tshuva, the case was that a woman wanted to wear a sheitel, and the husband told her, you can't wear a sheitel, that's Maris Ayin, you're not allowed to do that. So Rav Moshe has a number of arguments. First of all, he says, as far as whether a sheitel is us or not, most of the prominent poskim upon whom we rely, upon whom we normally rely, are not concerned about a peah nachris. They're not concerned about a sheitel, and the grus sounds this way as well, Rav Moshe says. Now, it's interesting that Rav Moshe used that expression. No? He doesn't just say that there are poskim that are meitil. He says, Rov Rabbeinu v'gam me'elu shesomchin ikare ha'hora'a aleihem. It's a very important line in terms of the way halacha works. Rav Moshe doesn't just count up how many shitos are there that say aser, how many shitos are there that say mutter. No, he says, look at who's on each side. Meaning, if you have a machlokas between the shach and the taz and the prima gadim and you know some sefer and the Yehuda on one side, even if you can collect a group of 30 achronim on the other side, they're not going to be machriya against the people that we always follow, against the Shach and the Gra and the Prima Gadim and the people that we always follow. So certainly, says Rav Moshe, the majority of the poskim who we follow, who we normally get to determine the Psak Halacha, we're not concerned about Pei Nachmas. So says Rav Moshe, but you might ask, why? Why aren't they concerned? Isn't it a problem of Maris Ha'ayin? Aren't Chazal goes there all the time? Mishum Maris Ha'ayin? So Rav Moshe says that apparently they were never goes there mishamaris ayin on a peyah nachris on a sheitel. He says it seems that way pretty clearly in the Gemara in Perek Bameisha that they were never goes there on a peyah nachris. Well, why not? So he says, you know, there are other places that were goes there maris ayin because the violation of what it looks like you're violating is an issur lo saseh. But when a woman is wearing a peyah nachris, it's at worst an issur aseh for a woman to be tzanua. So you cannot derive from the fact that Chazal were gozer mishum maris ayin in cases where a lav was involved to a case where at worst it's an issur aseh. So we cannot derive from other cases. Furthermore, says Rav Moshe, it also isn't really maris ayin because most women can tell that it's a sheitel, and that's where this case might be different, because most women, apparently the whole kunz of this is that most women cannot tell it's a sheitel. Now in a kikiriki, all women can tell that it's kikiriki. A man might have to take a double take to look, but all women will be, and even a man will be able to tell if he just looks a little bit closer, because it's a shirt, right? It's not her skin. And we don't find that Chazal ever asked wearing certain color shirts, Mishum Maris Ha'ayin. But so Rav Moshe writes that most women will be able to tell, and that's probably why there were never goes there. And then he writes something very important, because you might say, oh, but with these new sheitels, or if you have a shirt that's mamish skin color and skin tight, and in a way that mamish blends with the skin, or something like that, then you won't be able to tell. So Rav Moshe writes, Bishvil mashen is damin lefa'amim rechoko shaloniker lo asru. The fact that sometimes it's not going to be recognizable, that's not a reason to asr. Meaning, he seems to be saying that even if the metzius changes, and even if the metzius is that people cannot tell, it was never made into a formal gzeira, and therefore it is not asr. And he says, you know, I'll give you another example in halacha that this parallels with. He says, you know, there is an isser, midoraisa, 5 lavin actually, to shave your face with a razor. And yet, many people walk around clean shaven. Why isn't that maris ha'ayin? Do people know that I'm not using a razor when I shave my face? You know, especially if you hold like those poskim that all the lift and cuts are a problem, and the different types of shavers are a problem. I often get the shayla. People often will send me, "What do you hold about this shaver or that shaver, or the other shaver?" Most of my rebbeim hold that any shaver is okay, meaning not a razor, obviously, but that all the electric shavers on the market are okay with the lift and cut is fine, and with the foil is fine, and with all these types of shavers are okay. The most common shayla I get now is about the what's called the one blade. Familiar with the one blade? Anyone familiar with that? The reason people ask it is the one blade is like, it's a cheap shaver. People love it. It's shaped like a razor. So if you look at it, it looks a little bit like a razor. It doesn't work anything like a razor. It's probably the most mutter shaver on the market. There's no lifting mechanism. There's no, you know, but people think it's a shayla because of the shape that the manufacturer made it as a marketing gimmick. They made it look like a razor. And also, I guess, because it gets into certain corners and you're able to shape your beard better with it, I guess. But in fact, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, who I had the privilege to bring my Talmidim to this week, said that I think he said, it was the last shaila he ever asked Rav David Feinstein before Rav David Feinstein was nifter, was about the one blade shaver, whether it's mutter or not. And Rav David said that of course it's mutter. Now, but if you hold like those posts, that many of the electric shavers are going to be usur, so why isn't it maris hayin to go around clean shaven? Do I know how you shaved your beard? So Rav Moshe writes, everyone agrees what the Gemara says, that you're allowed to shave with misparayim keintar, with scissors that give a fairly close shave, and there's no maris ayin, even though it's 5 lavin if you actually were to violate the isser. apparently Chazal didn't make Zeros Mishum Maris Hayin indiscriminately. Apparently, says Rav Moshe, since people who are around the person would know that he doesn't use a razor, after all, he's a Ben Torah, and they would know that about the person, so maybe not everybody would realize that, but those who are around you would realize it, and therefore there's no Maris Hayin. So says Rav Moshe, the same with the Shetel, that if she's hanging around women most of the time, like most women are, so then it's for sure not a problem. All the people that she hangs around with would realize that she's wearing a shetel. And even if she works with men, she has a job that she works with men all the time, there were never goes there for Maris Hayin. And Ramosha keeps going back to that. That if it's not a matter of my assessment of whether people will realize or people won't realize. Rav Moshe keeps going back to the fact that since at the time when these gzeros would have been made, most people would realize that it's a shetel, that's why they never made the gzera, and therefore even if the metzias changes, there's no gzera. That's a critical point, I think, in reading this Rav Moshe. And the reason I'm highlighting this point is because I want to read to you what one of the poskim in Lakewood sent in response to a shaila that I sent him. And I don't know, you'll tell me what you think about it. But Rav Moshe keeps making this point that they were not gozer mishum maris hayin. And then he says, everybody will realize that an otherwise tsanua and frum woman would not uncover her hair. Meaning, take the case of the kikiriki. The woman is wearing a shetel. Let's say not a lace front. A shetel, that's obviously a shetel. Her dress goes down past her knees. And then she's, the collarbones are covered and whatever. So by the sleeves, it looks like she's wearing very, very short cut sleeves. Until you look closely and you see that it's a kikiriki that goes down past the elbows. Is anyone going to think for a second that this woman is not dressed tsanua, that she's not covering her body? She's a frum woman. She's at a chasana. She's covering her hair. She's everything else. So no one's going to think that for a second. Everybody's going to realize that an otherwise tsanua and frum woman, says Rav Moshe, would not be walking around with her hair uncovered. I, says Rav Moshe, but if you've been to America in the 1950s and 60s and v'chule, that many, many women do uncover their hair. So he says, Anan ein mechadshin iser ma shelo asu mitchila b'gemara v'ga'onim. Again, going back to that point, we don't make our own Maris Hayin gzeros. So even though in America, in the year Tav Shin Chaf Beis, it's very likely that an otherwise religious and tsanua woman is not covering her hair, but we don't make zeros. We can't make zeros Mishum Maris Hayin when Chazal didn't. Also, those who know her will know that she's covering her hair, and those who don't know her will not learn from her, because they will assume that she's also mehaprutzos bazeh, that she's among those women who don't cover her hair. Mehaprutzos bazeh means, like all the Litvisha Rosh Yeshiva's wives, right? Meaning, instead, in a generation ago, that's the way it was. In Lita, the wives of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim and Rosh Yeshiva very often didn't cover their hair. But there's no explanation for it. There's no good explanation for it, at least, as to why they didn't, but they didn't. You don't have to be concerned, says Rav Moshe, that it's an issue of Maris Hayin. And then Rav Moshe concludes the tshuva with a little bit of mussar for the husband. And he says, I don't know if you're one of these people who shaves, but if you want to be machmir Maris Hayin, maybe you should stop shaving before you tell your wife not to wear a shetel. The Maris Hayin on shaving is 5 lavin. The Maris Hayin on wearing a shetel is 1 assay, right? So if you want to be so machmir, he says, first of all, your wife's head covering is none of your business. He says that you want to be machmir, eino yachal lahatil chumrosav aleha shezeu rak din shelah. You can't impose your chumras on her, because this is her din, it's not your din. And he says that if you shave personally, if you shave, then for sure you can't be machmir on her, because shareu kisoser hanhagas atzmo, because then you're contradicting your own hanaga, that you're going to shave and not worry about Maris Hayin. You're going to make your wife not use the shetel, because you are worried about Maris Hayin. You're only worried about Maris Hayin when it's on her cheshbon, not when it's on your cheshbon. So that's how Rav Moshe concludes the tshuva. So after reading this tshuva, I was under the very distinct impression that Rav Moshe holds that it doesn't really matter how good or bad the sheitel is. Meaning that it doesn't really matter how good the sheitel looks. That it's always going to be not maris ayin. It's never going to be an issue of maris ayin. So I encouraged by a very close friend of mine, Rabbi Isaac Rice, who's a rav here in Yulet, to write a letter to some of the Lakewood poskim who signed the Kol Kore against these Leistab Sheitels. So Rabbi Rice drafted a letter, and I we put it on a Google Doc, and I fixed it up a little bit, and we essentially wrote. I sent it to two people. I sent it to Rav Yeruchim Olshin Shlita, one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Lakewood, and the author of the of an outstanding series of Svarim, and also they send out his weekly Parsha Shirim, also really outstanding. He's a remarkable Talmud Chacham, and if you've ever met him, also a remarkable Tzaddik. And I also sent it to Rav Forsheimer, who's one of the poskim in BMG, one of the leading poskim in Lakewood. Rav Forsheimer is I don't have any personal connection with him. I just I love his tshuvas also. He just published a tshuva sefer, which is really fantastic, a really beautiful sefer. And he very often has ha'aros on the sefer that Rabbi Kleinman wrote of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Piskei Halacha. So Rav Forsheimer very often includes ha'aros on that as well. So Rav Forsheimer. So essentially, what we wrote to these poskim. Is that we saw the Kol Kore, and it's signed by all these Gedolei HaPoskim, and it says that Peah Nachris with a lace top or a lace front is Asura Bein Ba'asiya, Bein B'mechira, Bein B'levisha. That you're not allowed to make it, you're not allowed to sell it, and you're not allowed to wear it. So the Kol Kore went out, and I said, I understand that L'migdor Milsa, you send out a Kol Kore without any halachic explanation. But, you know, for Poskim to publicize a Psak, you should probably, you know, it would be nice if we get, you know, if the Rabbanim were able to see what the halachic explanation is. Because in the Kol Kore, it's written in the style of a Kol Kore, and they're not able to, and therefore, Tamid Cham, B'chala Asar V'Asar, are not able to be Nosin V'Nosin, B'dvar Halacha, K'darka Shel Torah. It says it would be nice if we could be Nosin V'Nosin, K'darka Shel Torah. So we wrote that, you know, if you look in Igros Moshe, it seems that there are several reasons that a Peah Nachris is mutter, that there's no Maris Ayin on this Isra Seh, that Rov Nashim that are Charedim know how to distinguish between Seyar and Peah Nachris, that if we know for sure that a woman is Frum, then you'll realize that it's a Peah Nachris. So can't you say that the same applies to a lace front? And even if none of these reasons apply, I made the point that Rav Moshe sounds like he's saying over and over again that they were never gozer on Peah Nachris Mishamaris Hain. V'lechein, I wrote him, Lefi Dvarav, Ein Lesar, Afilu im nira mamish kaseyari isha. Even if it really looks like a woman's hair, we shouldn't aser. Afilu im nira yafem kaseyari isha. Even if it looks better than a woman's hair, we shouldn't aser. We shouldn't aser. So we wrote, I understand that there are poskim that probably disagree with the Igros Moshe, and, you know, there are issues of tznius and girei hayetzer, and the chachmei adar of every generation have the right to issue a psak. I would like to clarify, are you arguing with Rav Moshe, or is there something we're missing in Rav Moshe? I mean, you're allowed to argue with Rav Moshe. You're a posek also, and that's okay. And if you hold that in our generation we can't be makel on this for whatever reason, that's okay. I would just like to know, you know, what the svara is. So Rav Forsheimer wrote back as follows. He wrote, Ein inyonenu dome ledivrei ha'igros Moshe, klal uklal. That this has absolutely nothing to do with the Igros Moshe, meaning to say, Chas v'shalom, I'm not going against the Igros Moshe, right? Meaning that's his point, that I'm not going against the Igros Moshe. This is not at all like the Igros Moshe. How are you not going against the Igros Moshe? In what way? He writes, Debiyamav, Adayin lo asu peah nachris bekavana shelo yehi nikar shehi isha nesua. They in the times of Moshe, they never manufactured a sheitel bekavana that the woman shouldn't look like a married woman. Amnam l'ta'avoneinu, but to our great distress, asu abati charoshes, the factories have now made peyanach rezed, this type of wig, kidei shetei ha'isha nira kipenuya, so that the woman will look like a single woman. So much so that one of the manufacturers publicized that even a woman won't be able to tell that this is a sheitel. They're going to assume that it's the woman's own hair. And therefore it's not a stira at all to what Rav Moshe writes. So I didn't really understand the answer. Meaning, he's saying that that because they made it bekavana that no one should be able to tell, that makes it worse than the case of Rav Moshe. Now, I will not deny that sheitel manufacturing has taken, has become much more sophisticated than it was in the year Taf Shin Chaf Beis when Rav Moshe wrote that tshuva. But I still fail to see the distinction in terms of the halachic argument. I mean, Rav Moshe says explicitly that even if women can't tell, they simply never made a gzeira. So is Rav Forsheimer suggesting that's only when it was rare that women couldn't tell? But if you have a situation where there are factories making sheitels that they're going to be all over the place where women can't tell, now it does become maris ha'ayin? Or is he suggesting that it's not maris ha'ayin, that it's a pritzus, that it's just stam a pritzus when you're making a sheitel with the kavana that a woman should look single, that she should look like a single woman? I'm just not sure that what he means by that either. That's what their kavana is, that the woman should look like a single woman, that a married woman should look single? I don't think that's what they're saying. I think they're saying that the sheitel should look more natural, not that she should look. See, I always tell chassanim, when I learned chassanim before them, so you always have to be very sensitive to your wife about the sheitel. It's a very big, or about head coverings in general. It's a very big adjustment for a woman to go from not covering her hair to covering her hair. I said, imagine, I always try to paint a picture. I tell the chassanim, imagine you wake up one morning, you go to the bathroom to brush your teeth, you look up and you look in the mirror, and you see like your dad in the mirror instead of yourself, or like your older brother in the mirror. Like, your dad may be a very good-looking guy, but when you look in the mirror, you expect to see yourself, and it's somewhat disorienting to see somebody else when you look in the mirror. So that's what a woman feels like when she covers her hair. It could be the sheitel looks great, but it's not her, and she feels strange looking in the mirror and looking at someone that's not her. So to give it a more natural look is psychologically helpful to a woman. So I don't think they're trying to say, oh, you could look single so that you can you can still try to date and see if there are other men out there. I don't think that's what it's trying to say. That's what they're trying to say. I think they're trying to say that you don't have to feel self-conscious that it looks fake. That you don't have to feel so. I know of women that stopped covering their hair because they felt so self-conscious in the office, in a professional workplace where everyone was able to tell that they're wearing a wig, and if that's something that looked a little more natural, maybe they would still be covering their hair. So I'm not really sure what he's driving at. I think he's driving at that it's just a general pretzels to look like you're not covering your hair. But if that's the case, I think one has to be sensitive that the din might be different in Lakewood than it is in the Five Towns, than it is in Los Angeles, and that it is, and one has to look at the sensitivities of each community. And not only that, the Lubavitcher Rebbe very famously encouraged Lubavitcher women to dafka wear sheitels. Because I think for this very reason, that he thought it was important, if women are going to cover their hair, that it was important that they feel encouraged to do so, and if they don't feel that it's natural, they're going to lack the self confidence, and they're not going to be comfortable with it. And if that's the case, it's going to be a problem. So she shouldn't have to feel awkward in social situations. She might be tempted to remove it if she feels awkward. So again, each community community might be different in that regard. So when it comes to the kikiriki, I don't know. I don't think that there's a gzeira of maris ha'ayin. I don't think that a kikiriki possibly can look anything like even a lace top shetel as far as its natural look. It is a shirt, after all. You know, it's a shell. It's not her skin. So it's hard for me to say that such a thing is usher, and it's hard for, you know, to even be magdir what exactly is close enough to skin color to be usher and what's not close enough to skin color to be usher. Obviously, when one makes advancements in their level of tznius, it's always a good idea to advance in the level of tznius. And if a woman gets to a point where she's uncomfortable, if anyone would even think for a moment, if anyone would even have to take a double take to realize that she's wearing wearing something to cover herself properly, so many women would be uncomfortable with that, and that's laudable, and they should try to upgrade at a certain point. But Meikar Adin, it's very difficult to say that something like that is asr. Okay.